Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Hi film fans, it's been a while, it's been a second, it's been a moment, and I did promise you a little bonus to start your week, and this music might give you some indication as to who our guest is. I can't believe I'm saying these words, but I caught up with Mark Hamill ahead of a Q&A that I did last night about The Life of Chuck, which also stars Tom Hiddleston and Chiwetel Ejiofor, my other guests on the podcast this week. So, without further ado, let's get cracking with some score from the movie as provided by the Newton Brothers. Mark, it's an absolute dream, to be honest, to get to spend a little bit of time with you.
Oh my God, yeah. Nice thing to say, thank
it
you.
It really, really is. And also this film, The Life of Chuck, is such a beautiful gift to the world at a time where we couldn't need it anymore.
I know. I mean, I think that's really important. It's exactly the right film, almost therapeutic,
yeah,
in these really troubling times, because you see the goodness inherent in most people in this film. And even though it's a story of an ordinary man, it's told in such an extraordinary way.
Yeah.
And one thing I think is, I hope people see it with an audience. Because, you know, these days people are watching, you know, Jurassic Park on their phones.
Yeah.
I'll never understand.
You're never going to be scared of that dinosaur when it's that size.
No, that little squeak T-Rex. But it's such a communal experience when you see it with another audience.
Yeah.
I had seen it once privately at Mike's house with three of us there. And then at the Toronto Film Festival, it was just a revelation, because to see it with in real time with a whole audience, it was really a wonderful surprise to see how well they reacted to
yeah.
it. And people with tears in their eyes at the end. It was
yeah.
just great. So I hope people see it in the
film. Yeah, I do too. It's such a perfect communal experience, that film for sure. What was your, do you remember when the script was, when you were given the script to read? And what was, I know you're a big Stephen King fan.
Well, that's it. As soon as anybody offers me anything, I go to the source material.
Yeah.
And I'd ordered, it was in a collection called If It Bleeds. Now they've done a standalone with the poster for the movie, and that's a nice keepsake. But anyway, I read it, and you have almost that the reaction of, I love how you're set up the wrong way with Stephen King, because you think, oh, it's going to have be supernatural. It's going to have horror in terms of horror.
Yeah.
And you forget what a versatile writer he is with Green Mile, The Body, which became Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption. It's unfair to categorize.
Even things like The Mist as well.
Yes, yes, yes. It's extraordinary. He is obviously one of the greatest writers of all time. And this one, I mean, there are apocalyptic elements. I mean, that's the thing about this. It's so hard to categorize. I told the producers, I said, I'm going to be hopeless trying to promote this on talk shows, because how do you describe the indescribable?
And you also don't want to talk about it too much, because you want the audience to
discover it for themselves. Absolutely. And if you say, well, it's a story of an ordinary man, that's not really people saying, oh, let's go see a movie about an ordinary man. But like I say, you know, it has just a distinction all its own. So hopefully, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, word of mouth will really help us. Because when people see it, they go, oh, that's why people are reacting like the way they do.
I had a wonderful relationship with my granddad. Mm. He was like a third parent to me. Oh. So I think that there's, I don't know, I had a special connection with your character and that kind of grandfather relationship that is such a special relationship for children. It was, and you played it just so beautifully.
It's so idyllic, you know, to be just isolated as we are. I'm with Mia Sara, who was just so wonderful. I mean, I only had to love the two versions of Chuck. Little Cody Flanagan is sort of kindergarten Chuck. And then Benjamin, the remarkable Paycheck, I have to say, as the middle school Chuck. And he is just extraordinary. He has such an amazing career ahead of him, because it's so heartfelt and so genuine. I just think he's marvelous. And on top of everything else, he sings, he dances. I mean, you can see he dances in the film, but he was in the revival of The Music Man with Hugh Jackman. I didn't see that. I know the show, so I know who he played. But my daughter was showing me YouTube, and she said, do you want to see Benjamin? He sings Where Is Love from Oliver.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a plaintive, introspective, morose kind of song in the show. He sings it. He belts it like an upscale 10:30, you know, second act standing ovation number. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, I was delighted by, you know, I'm not going to let the sentiments of this song stop me from showing everyone my chops. And I'm telling you, he's got them.
You yourself have, you know, tread the boards, given it singing licks.
I did a musical, and I have to tell you, everyone in that cast, including my understudy, who was probably around 35 or something, and he was 20, 21. All of them had done multiple musicals. Mm. I mean, that's all they do. And I have such admiration for them, because nobody works harder when they're not singing, they're dancing. When they're not singing and dancing, they're working on their lines. They're the hardest working people in the world.
Does music fit into your creativity at all? You know, when you're prepping for roles or you're, you know, getting into headspace or anything, do you ever surround yourself with music as
all the time? Yeah, I love music. I'm sort of a product of the 60s British invasion. I mean, the Beatles, to this day, there's nothing bigger to my way of thinking, that's happened in show business than that, because it was so overwhelming and it worked on so many levels, not just the music, but when we saw Hard Day's Night, their personalities and their humor, and we never heard that Liverpudlian accent before. It's hard to describe unless you were there. Because they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, and the next day, there was nobody at school that hadn't seen and that wasn't talking about it. That rarely happened back in the days when we only had, five channels or whatever it was. But like I say, people say, oh, Star Wars was such a big thing. I said, it pales in comparison to the Beatles.
I don't know about that.
I said, in my opinion. and I'm trying to be other things. I mean, I'm amazed about how popular Taylor Swift is. I mean, as someone who doesn't really know her music, my daughter played me a bunch of songs. And I said, oh, that's why she's so popular. But in terms of people all over the internet just anxiously awaiting her next move, it's extraordinary. Good for her.
I have to tell you a quick music story because my what's been beautiful about the Star Wars world is passing it down to generations. And so I have two boys who are now 12 and 17.
Oh, perfect.
And my youngest, his introduction to A New Hope was a live orchestra playback at the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, fantastic.
So the film and the orchestra playing.
I've never seen it.
Do you know what? He plays the French horn now.
He does?
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, I have to, and I've told this, I said it to him, I said it after George Lucas. I don't think there's anybody more responsible for the success of those movies than John Williams. His scores are just, I mean, I'll never forget Gary Kurtz, the producer, picked me up to go dub. The 70 millimeter prints were opening that day in, I don't know, 15 cities or something. But the 35 millimeter prints still had to be dubbed, ADR, additional dialogue recording. Anyway, he said, oh, and I got the score. He was there when they recorded with the London Symphony Orchestra. Do you want to hear it? I might be getting my stories a little out of, because it was already open, the score. Yeah, I am. But my point is, the first time I heard that score, because I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Who knows? They could have just electronic music and Moog synthesizer and all. But to use that sort of Korn Gold, Max Steiner, lush 30s Hollywood score was just overwhelming.
Well, it's where John came from, wasn't it? You know, in terms of his involvement in orchestras as a player,
I guess,
and what he kind of learned along the way. And it feels like he poured all of that.
I loved seeing him when he started out as Johnny Williams and scoring Emergency and all those 70s and 60s and 70s Universal shows. But you got to start somewhere. And oh my gosh, what he did. I mean, Jaws, and so many of his scores are really iconic. And you think, how much did that elevate the material?
Yeah.
You know, because me staring out at the setting Two Suns, it's a beautiful picture, but the score itself just really infiltrates your emotions in a way you can't describe.
Do you remember seeing it for the first time, like as the full thing with the music on how you felt?
Well, again, I mean, I have to tell you, when I first read it, you see, and by the way, we didn't get to read the whole script when we were trying out for it. Even when I did the screen test, it was hard to know how to perform it because it was out of context.
Yeah.
It just seemed, I said, is this like a parody of who talks like this? It was just, I couldn't understand it. And then to see the whole script, my point was, so much of that I love about it is there on the printed page.
Yeah.
The humor, robots arguing over whose fault it is. I mean, subtle stuff, but you say, I can't be the only one that's funny. The effortless feminism of this little girl standing straight, you know, and not being intimidated at all by Vader and taking her over her own rescue. Mm-hmm. You call this a rescue? Give me that gun. I mean, she makes us look like chumps because we're so not together. I thought, see, that's the kind of, it's subliminal.
Yeah.
It's not hitting you over the head with a message, but just the way she performs, that's what it is. So what I'm saying is, aside from all the special effects and eventually John's score, it was just wonderfully entertaining to read. Mm-hmm. And it had been so long since we had done the screen test. And when I went in, I just assumed Harrison was the leading man, because he is. He's a leading man. I'm not a leading man. And the way the scene played, they took the Wookiee out. It was in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon going to the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
So no Wookiee. It was just me and Han Solo. And what I'm saying was, the overall effect was a guy that was really together with this annoying kid in his ear, you know. I couldn't remember who I played. I figured, well, Harrison must be Luke. So I started reading, and right away I realized, oh, my God, it's told you the POV of this teenager. That's unusual.
Special, very, very special for so many, many, many people around the world. I want to just talk two quick things before we finish. You've filmed in some extraordinary locations all across your career, you know. I wonder if there's one that really sticks out for you because, you know, there's so much that's done in studio, but when you're on location in certain places, it adds.
Of course.
So one that sticks out for you across your career.
North Africa for all the desert stuff for Star Wars. That was the first thing we did. I went over with Sir Alec and the robots. And that's pretty much it. And it was so otherworldly. I mean, you're there. Mind you, we were following Jesus of Nazareth all around filming because we get to a location they had just left. And we, you know, here's this medieval, you know, Christ story with us. But the more foreign it is, the more you're transported. Like we did a movie that was set in Russia. I did it with Bert Kreischer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in, where were we now? Czechoslovakia was the Templar Knights thing. But where did we go for Russia? Oh, I'm terrible. I should remember that I brought it up. But what I'm saying is you can't... help be affected by the fact that you're completely away from anything you've ever known. Now, mind you, you're mostly going to location and back to the hotel looking through the windows.
Did you see, I want to go back to Life of Chuck just for our last question, the dance sequence in that film.
Oh my God.
Is...
extraordinary.
No
and what
joy,
I love, it organic, the way it organically grows, that's what takes you by surprise. It's not like an MGM musical where you're expecting a musical number. This just comes out of nowhere, and it's just so beautifully done with the busker, with him, the girl that just observes and then becomes a part of it. Tremendous, just tremendous. My daughter actually was a production assistant on this. She had been my personal assistant on House of Usher, and that's where Mike got to know her, and then he gave her this job. So she was an AD or a production assistant, I forget what her title was. What I'm saying is she got to see that filmed over how many days they did it, and I would have loved to see how that happened. But, it's wonderful. I think it's one of the best things about the movie.
Yeah, the drummer, she's awesome as well. Gosh, she's so great. But Benjamin's dance scene as well, that's just, you know, at the... Oh.
I love that boy. Oh. I'm telling you, I wish he were my grandson. It wasn't hard because I loved all of them. Cody was adorable. Benjamin, like I tell you, is more than meets the eye because he's impossibly young. I mean,
is he 12 or something?
I think he was 12 when you knew he might be pushing 14 by now. The next time I saw him, you could see he had grown 6 inches. He's, you know, that's the thing about adolescence. If you don't see them for a couple of years, they completely change.
Yeah. It's great to see Jacob Tremblay as well, who I just thought I last saw being introduced to him in Room. And just,
there's an example of I wish I would, because I loved him in the Green Book? Or
yeah, and there was the other film as well where he played the kid who was disfigured, and he's just an amazing young actor.
He's so expressive, and
yeah.
I didn't know he's Canadian. I think he lives in Vancouver, and his father, aside from being a policeman, occasionally is an actor. He's in the courtroom scenes in House of Usher. So the two of them, yeah. And I first met him, like I say,
yeah.
6, 7 years old, this little guy. Now, of course, he's like I think he's a year before he goes to college.
Wow.
And completely transformed.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think he's going to have a nice transition because that's a hard thing to do, to go from a child actor to an adult actor. But as he shows in Chuck, he's so controlled.
Yeah, it's wonderful to see him. It really is.
He's perfect.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to the next Mark Hamill, Stephen King collaboration with the Long Walk as well. Looking forward to that in September.
I've had a really busy year.
From
December to December, and it was The Wild Robot.
Beautiful.
Yeah, The King of Kings, which is... the story of Christ. What a cast. Kenneth Branagh, Sir Ben Kingsley, Uma Thurman, Pierce Brosnan, Frederick Morris. I'm looking at the cast. I'm the only one in this I've never heard of.
Come on.
To quote an old Neil Simon line, But no, but again, I mean, I'm King Herod, a despicable person in his own right, but I didn't meet any of those people. And I'm a huge fan. And then the Life of Chuck, The Long Walk, and finally, for people that are a little more highbrow, I'm the villain in the SpongeBob movie, Search for SquarePants, this Christmas. And the only thing they have in common is they all begin with the word the. So that's my new thing. I'm telling my agent, only accept films that begin with the word the.
Mark Hamill, thank you for your time, sir. It's been an absolute treat. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Enjoy talking to you.
As referenced by Mark Hamill during our chat, that's Binary Sunset by John Williams. Rounding off this bonus episode of Soundtracking with actual Luke Skywalker. Oh my gosh. My huge thanks to Mark for taking the time to talk to us. The team at Soho House for helping me facilitate that, and also Anne and everybody else at Studio Canal. The Life of Chuck is out in UK cinemas as of this Wednesday, and as he says, is well worth watching in the cinema. Also, thank you to Ben for turning this around so quickly. If you want to hear my conversation with Tom and Chiwetel, head to edithbowman.com, where you can find every single episode of the podcast. Follow us on your socials or at Soundtracking UK, and we would be eternally grateful if you'd subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is called Soundtracking Extra. Next up, really thrilled to share a conversation that I had with Ari Aster, who joins me to discuss Eddington, which he wrote and directed. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.